B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
I'm not even supposed to be here today!
Yeah, that's right, Dante from Clerks. We're not even supposed to be here today. And by we, I mean the Patriots. You, the fans. And us, Gasper Murray, here at 98.5 of Sports Hub, taking you into Wild Card Weekend for the first time in a decade. With Tim McCone alongside as well. Ugh.
Yeah. Not really. I forgot what it feels like to really slum it, Chris. It's the equivalent of getting used to having a bone-in ribeye at a high-end steakhouse every year at this time, and then having that taken away from you. And being forced to eat like a super beef three-way and fries at your local, you know, beef joint. And that's okay. It's all right, I guess. It's just not what we've grown accustomed to.
No, definitely not what we've grown accustomed to. I think I wrote earlier this week that, like, the Patriots don't do Wild Card Weekend. This is like Elton John playing a piano bar. Like,
yeah.
It's like,
it's how he started.
It's sort of like, what's happening here? Like, why are we going back to this?
Right.
You know?
Or in a Chris Gasper equivalent, it's like going from shopping at Nordstrom all the time to having to go to, like, Zayre's, which doesn't exist okay. anymore, or, like, you know, Filene's Basement or something like that.
I loved Filene's Basement. I shopped there all the time.
You do love a deal.
I do love a deal, yes. I definitely, especially on parking.
So how do we even get here? Like, are you still... Could you still even believe what happened with this game against Miami last Sunday? You and I saw, you were seeing family out in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I took my vacation out there with the wife. We're like, see you. We'll be talking about, you know, we'll be mostly focused on, you know, getting ready, who they're going to end up facing in the divisional round and all that kind of stuff. And then we reconvene and it's like, what? Wild Card Weekend. They end up losing that game. They were 17.5-point favorites last week at Gillette Stadium. And they end up losing that game and get shredded in the process by Ryan Fitzpatrick. Did that leave you shook? Like, do you feel like, is that more about the defense? Is it more about Tom Brady, who looked, you know, like vintage Tom Brady the week prior against the Buffalo Bills? He's spreading the ball around. Who's his favorite wide receiver? Or who's the favorite receiver? It's the open one. It was like, you know, it's what we had expected. It's what we've grown accustomed to with Tom Brady. And then he reverted back to bad, broken Brady, which we had unfortunately seen a lot of this season last week against, again, Miami. Ugh, and that pick six, like, I still can't, a week later, I can't figure out who the hell he was trying to throw that to. Was it Edelman? Was it actually Sony Michel? Was he trying to throw it? Like, it was awful. So who is that more on, and what are you more concerned about, defense, Brady, and the offense going into tonight's game?
Yeah, I would say, you know, coming off the Miami game, I'm more concerned about the defense for this reason. If the Patriots are going to go anywhere in the playoffs, this defense is going to have to play at a really high level. And I think it's been a defense-first team for a while. I'd say it's been a defense-first team really since the first Buffalo game back in September up in Orchard Park. And the Patriots will go as far as the defense carries them. As poorly as the offense played in that game, the reality is they turned it over to the defense with 3:53 to go, and all they had to do was not allow a touchdown, and they win the game. And that's the way this team is built, to lean on the defense. And for the defense to allow Ryan Fitzpatrick... And Devontae Parker's had a very good year, don't get me wrong. But still, Ryan Fitzpatrick and Devontae Parker to just march down the field like that and score a touchdown on the Patriots' home field with a bye on the line in a game that Belichick had declared a playoff game for the team and said they should take a playoff mentality into it, that's alarming. That's alarming to me, especially when I couple it, Jim, with the way the defense has performed, and it's not poor, but it's just not completely dominant against the other playoff quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, guys they're probably going to have to beat after they win today, and I do think they will win today. So when I look at it from that standpoint, I feel like the margin for error was already small because this offense is inept. It got even smaller if the defense isn't going to be a dominant defense, if it's just going to be good.
Yeah, they needed to mirror what the 2015 Denver Broncos did if they were going to you know, go on a run and win the championship this year. And I've always kind of felt deep down, they've had some really good performances, but I felt deep down because of the competition and because who they played in that first 10 weeks. Like, do we really know? It does feel a bit overrated. They seem deep. You know, they're definitely deep, and they're rotating guys in and out. But I don't know. I thought the linebacker play, specifically guys like Jamie Collins, that dropped as the year went along. And then it just felt like they kind of got exposed these last couple of weeks. Because I don't even think that they were that great in Buffalo. If you had a better quarterback in Josh Allen, because I think he's a bum's bum. Tough. And his mobility, I think, is actually one of his better attributes. But if he could actually throw an accurate pass, well, they very well could have lost that game because he missed the tight end, Dawson Knox, on their first drive and their last drive, which I think a more competent quarterback makes that throw.
Probably.
So I think that they've kind of regressed a little bit, or they've come back to what they really are. I think they're good, not great. And a lot of people have overrated them, and they certainly shouldn't be put in the conversation with the 2015 Denver Broncos or the Legion of Boom or the Ravens of 2000 or any of the great defenses of all time. I just think that they're kind of just all right. They're good. That's
it. I mean, I think they're the best defense in the league, and I think they're very good, but I don't think they're a historic defense, despite what some of the numbers. I mean, they set the record for fewest third down conversions allowed. The points per game that they allowed, it was the fewest points per game since 2008, and the fewest points allowed overall in the franchise's history in a 16-game season. So good defense. But what happened over the first 8 games of the season when you were saying this might be the best defense of all time, or some people were, I don't think that was ever really the case. And if you're going to be susceptible to drives like that at the end of the game or to quality quarterback play, and teams also, I think, go into pretty much every game feeling like they have a chance to run it against them, then I look at it and say, okay, the path to win a Super Bowl for this Patriots team is even narrower than I thought if the defense is not going to be just completely dominant.
Yeah, they needed the bye. They desperately needed the bye, and for no other reason to rest guys, your most important guys on offense, and Edelman, who feels like he's been playing on one leg for a while, Brady, who has something else going on. Because that regression from Buffalo to last week, and he's wearing the different cleats, and he kept jogging on the sideline to keep something warm, like, I don't know, it feels to me like something else is going on there besides the elbow.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So the bye they desperately needed, and I would love to be proven wrong. I didn't really like their chances. I had essentially written this team off since the loss to Houston, especially when they backed that up with the loss to Kansas City the week later, and that's when I had the declaration of doneness written up. Yes. I demanded that Felger and Maz sign that thing after loss to Kansas City. They wouldn't, but Mike did say, he's a man of his word, that I would sign that if they ended up having to play wild card weekend. That's what's happening. He has since signed it. In fact, I still have it here, McCone, if you want to sign the declaration of doneness. I don't know how you feel about this team right now. You look at that, like, I think they win tonight. Chris thinks they win tonight. Yeah. They very likely will, but do you think they're going to end up going to the Super Bowl and winning
it? I'm going to pull a Leo from Wolf of Wall Street. I'm not signing. I'm all in on the Patriots.
You are? Yeah. Okay. I'm a confident McCone.
All in for what?
For long term, right? I actually think that tonight might be a bit of an issue. It might say like an 09 Ravens type thing, but long term, I still buy that the Patriots are going to be around. I think Brady comes back for another year, tonight I think is going to be. It's a little scary. I mean, people are kind of disregarding the game last year when they got rolled down in Nashville.
And yeah.
To me, that kind of stands out. I don't know what offensively you do if Edelman isn't 100%. Like, tonight worries me.
Again, there's some misconceptions about the declaration of doneness. I don't think that the whole thing is done. Like, I think Brady's not going to be here next year, but I still think they're going to be competitive. It's just about this postseason. I think they win tonight, and then they get rolled in Kansas City next week. That's it. That's all.
And you're saying done for this season.
Yeah. Yeah, I've thought that for like a month now. It's just, I felt like this record's a mirage. They beat up on terrible teams. The defense has been overrated. Brady's either broken or old or something, or a combination of both. It just, you know what this is? Because this isn't 09. It's 2013. 2013, they had a very good record.
Yep.
And then they ended up going to the AFC Championship game, a game that I went into with arms crossed, knowing like they have no chance in Denver. And that's how I feel like, hey, maybe they end up having an upset in Kansas City next week, because Kansas City historically is one of the most wretched franchises, not just the NFL, but in all of professional sports. That team will consistently find a way to puke all over themselves, whether it's losing the coin toss last year to stupid Marty Schottenheimer going with Elvis Gerback after being on the shelf for weeks over Rich Gannon in 97 to Lynn Elliott's 3 missed field goals in 95. Like, that's just immediately what comes to mind. Just through the annals of history, that team finds a way to blow it in the playoffs. So they could still go there and win. But please, in Baltimore, if nothing else, Chris, they've played so much extra football, the Patriots, over the last 3 years, they're just going to end up running out of gas.
Yeah, and that's how it's funny. You look back at 2006, and that's sort of what happened.
That's another one.
Yeah, I mean, that's the closest they've come to getting out of the wild card round and going all the way to the Super Bowl was 06. They play Mangini and the Jets here. They win. They go out to San Diego and play, to this day, probably the most talented opponent of a Patriots I've ever seen. Like, that was LaDainian Tomlinson in his prime. It was Sean Merriman and Sean Phillips in their primes. To this day, I've still never
seen... Their backup running back was Michael Turner.
Yeah, I've still never seen Brady in a situation where he had less time to throw than that day. They had no business winning that game. I will say this, the Chargers were the... Not only were the Chargers the better team, but talent-wise, they were the superior team. But somehow the Patriots pulled it out thanks to Troy Brown and Marlon McCree. And then they're up 21-3 in Indy, as we all remember. And they honestly, like, they just ran out of gas. They completely ran out of gas. And when you look at this Patriots team, something that's interesting is they're the oldest team in the league, Jim.
Yeah.
Like, by average age. You know, the NFL puts this thing out on opening day with the average age of the rosters for each team. The Patriots were the oldest at 27.23. They had the most average years of experience at 5.3. They had the second most guys who were 30 years old or older with 13. The only team that had more, Atlanta with 14, except for Atlanta traded you one of their 30-year-old guys in Mohamed Sanu. So now it's you.
Stinks.
So, I mean, they're an older team to begin with. To your point, they played a lot of extra football, and that's why this bye was so crucial, because now you have the path of most resistance instead of the path of least resistance.
And selfishly, you can, I have to say, for me, I mean, not only do I hate the fact they didn't get the bye, I would love to be proven wrong here. I really would. I know some of you doubt that, but I believe I still am a fan of this team, despite my doubting and hating on them and everything else. But selfishly, you know how mad I am at this game is tonight? I figured, has it ever happened that it's AFC-AFC on the same day and NFC-NFC? Isn't it usually staggered? It's always staggered.
It usually is staggered. Someone wrote about this. I think it has happened in the past, but it's not the usual way that it's done.
I'm so mad this game is tonight. Like, Oh, I hate working these night games. By the way, catch the post game with Beadle and myself tonight, live from Switzerland. Catch it here on 98.5 Sports Hub. But Jesus, do you know how... Oh, man, I don't want to be up till 3 in the morning tonight. Like, I'm so mad. I'm so mad that this game is tonight. I figured, okay, it's not going to be the early Saturday game because that's where they put, like, you know, the lesser of...
That's where they put Josh Allen.
That's where they put Houston. So it's Buffalo and Houston in the afternoon. So it'll be Sunday at 1. No, tonight? All these years... Dining on bone-in ribeye with all the sides, a la carte sides, at a beautiful high-end restaurant. And from that, we have to go to a dirty roast beef joint.
I guess I'll have a pizza roll with my roast beef.
I think it's still good. It's tasty. But this is not what we're used to. Ugh. Wild card weekend. Slumming it on wild card weekend. Chris buying high-end sweaters at Nordstrom. Now having to go to, you know, Bob's stores.
I guess I'll get these cargo shorts and this button-up. Yeah, it's cheap.
Hey, you look good in it because, you know, you're lean Chris Gasper. You can rock just about anything. But you know it's not the brands you're used to wearing. We're not used to this. It's wild card weekend. We're slumming it. Your thoughts on tonight's game, the Patriots heading into tonight's game against the Tennessee Titans. I don't know. It feels like McCone's a little scared. I get it. Tennessee's hot. Ryan Tannehill's been probably the most underrated story in the NFL this year. Great story that he's turned his career down there in the last 10 games. But it's still the Tennessee Titans. This is his first postseason game. I'm not worried about tonight. Going forward, though, no. That's why I signed the Declaration of Doneness. But your thoughts, you want to join the show, 617-779-0985. It's Gasper Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
At the end of the day, we're in a blessed situation. We're in the playoffs. We're one of 12 teams in the playoffs. I mean, we have a chance to go on a revenge tour, and what better way to start off with Tennessee, who we lost to last year?
Man, you corny!
So let's label it the revenge tour, Kyle Van Noy. One of the... Ugh, wretch thinking about it. The boogeymen. Just, it feels so desperate to try to, like, hawk t-shirts and have a tagline.
You don't like that?
Oh, the revenge tour. It doesn't even make any sense. You're talking about, what, vengeance against the Tennessee Titans who you lost to last year? Like, what the hell does last year have to do with anything?
Well, you're just
saying
teams that have beaten the Patriots the last time that they've played them, so it'd be an opportunity to potentially, ostensibly, go through Tennessee, Kansas City, and Baltimore. Yeah, revenge tour.
Ugh,
what's funny is he wasn't talking about the revenge tour after the Miami game. In fact, he wasn't talking at all. A lot of media members went up to him and he said, I'm not going to chit-chat today, guys. Go talk to the captains. So just interesting. I'm sure he'll talk today if they win, though.
Oh, of course. Yeah, no. Then he'll have, like four games to glory or something else so that he can, you know, again, try to hawk t-shirts or whatever. How about maybe being focused on last week's game when your head coach says, hey, guys, It's a playoff game next week. We got to look at next week as a playoff game, and then they show up like basically half asleep, especially on that side of the ball. Before we go to your calls and your thoughts on tonight's wild card game as the Patriots host the Tennessee Titans, we do have some breaking news as it pertains to Spygate 2.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, McCone, what do we got?
Yeah, Adam Schefter just tweeting out a couple minutes ago, the Patriots are expected to be disciplined for acknowledged game day video violations in Cincinnati, per league sources. Discipline likely to come in the next 2 weeks, but not all security reports are back to the NFL yet.
All right, so the other thing that happened with this story this week is that from multiple reports, the league couldn't find any ties between the taping in Cleveland, looking at the Bengals sideline, and the football operations. And the one thing that annoyed me when I was on vacation, that I did see some reports saying that it was like the league looked at this as like, ah, curses, we can't find any links. Like, ugh. So, and that, I think, has more to do with some of the bitter owners throughout the league that look at the last, you know, two decades of success with the Patriots and say, like, ah, find something. Ugh, we got to take them down. But it does feel like they're still going to get fined probably, you know, close to $1 million. They'll have a draft pick that'll maybe go from third to fourth round. That does feel like what it's going to turn out to be, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you look at some of the other cases, Ray Farmer when he was with the Cleveland Browns and using the cell phone, the walkie-talkies with the Giants, Atlanta pumping in the crowd noise. I think those are all, you know, I don't think the fine, I mean, maybe the fine will be higher, but I don't think the fine will be quite $1 million, but I think you'll be looking at some sort of fine. And I could see them stripping them of like a compensatory pick because they're supposed to get a whole bunch compensatory picks at the end of the third round. I could see something like that, or maybe they strip them of their own third round pick knowing they're going to get the compensatory pick. At the end of the day, I don't think the damage is going to be too severe, but I do think it will be in line with those other sort of game day operations miscues where teams violated the rules knowingly or not. And the Patriots have already admitted that they broke the rules. The real question here was, what was the intent and what was the involvement of football operations? That really would only increase the severity of the penalty. They're going to get penalized. That's happening. They've admitted to the violation.
Frank the Tank first up here on Gaspar Murray this morning. Hey, Frank.
Morning, guys. Look, Chris, real quick.
Yeah.
That game against Indianapolis, that AFC Championship game in 06, I'm 43 years old, okay? That still pisses me off to this day. It still pisses me off. That game more than any other, even losing to the Giants in the perfect season, that game still pisses me off so bad. All Rashay Caldwell had to do was catch the friggin' ball. No one was within an area code of him on the sideline, and he dropped the ball. How he dropped the ball with eyes that size, still to this day, I mean, it haunts me in my sleep that they lost that game. But anyway, look, as far as tonight goes, I fully expect them to beat the Titans. I really do. I don't think that the Titans are as good as people might think that they are. I do expect it to be close, though. I see it as a 24-21 game, which leads me to my point. No one's talking about the kicker. I want to know what you guys' opinion is. Are they going to let him kick a field goal tonight? Are they going to let him kick a 45-yarder? That's my concern tonight, because I don't think the offense is going to be running up and down the field. So is Belichick going to let him kick a 45-yarder if he has to? Enjoy the game, guys.
Thanks, Frank. I hope, and that's one of the things, one of the leftover thoughts I had from that loss to Miami, was how Belichick handled the end of the first half when they get the ball back on what was it? I think their own 23 with a 1:47 left, all three timeouts. It's setting themselves up for the wraparound score, which has been one of those teams' calling cards for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
And they just let it go away. Like, nah, we're going to tuck our junk and go to the locker room with all three timeouts. You've got to try for three there. And so, like, Frank is talking about Nick Foles and trusting him with a long field goal, which he's really never been able to do. I think his longest is maybe 50 or 51 in his career. But just in the recent weeks, he attempted a 47-yarder and hit it. Nick Folk, I haven't really been all that concerned about. I know he missed some of those kicks in that bad weather game against the Dallas Cowboys going back about a month ago. But I don't know. I don't look at him and say, like, nah, he can't hit a 47, 48-yarder. He just proved that he can. So that they didn't even try to get three and go for a long field goal last week is mind-boggling to me, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Folk has the 51-yarder. The other thing I'd say, this is the rare opponent where I'd say you have an advantage – in the kicking game. The Titans have been one of the worst kicking teams in the league.
They're worst. They're 32 of 32 when it comes to percentage.
They're on their fourth kicker this season. I think they're 8 of 18 on the year. And this guy, Greg Joseph, believe it or not, he's 9 for 9 on PATs, which was his issue in Cleveland for Tennessee. He's been their kicker for two games. You're going to love this. He has not attempted a field goal for the Tennessee Titans. So his first field goal attempt for the Titans will be in this playoff game.
Yeah, I tweeted about this when it was decided, hey, we're going to be, you know, turns out they're going to be playing wild card weekend. You get the Tennessee Titans. It's one of the sneaky, underrated things that you got to look for tonight and may end up costing the Tennessee Titans is their kicking game this whole year. Like you just said, they're on their fourth kicker now, has been absolutely atrocious. It's cost them 15 points. It's literally cost them wins. Their field goal kickers this year. The situation's been terrible. They're 32 out of 32 in the league. I think it's 44% when it comes to percentage. They're awful. So if that's one of the things that may end up biting the Tennessee Titans in the ass tonight is the kicking game. So if it's going to be a close game, like I think a lot of people think it's going to be, and here's a guy that hasn't even attempted a field goal yet, and it's the playoffs.
Did you say 44%?
I think it was 44.
That's right. It's 8 of 18 of the year. And it's been Cairo Santos, Ryan Succop, Cody Parkey. These are all guys that have kicked for the Titans this year, and now it's Greg Joseph.
And the next closest team, Chris, I think is 54% or something like that. Wow. They're bad. They've
struggled.
Hands down, the worst kicking team, field goal kicking team in the league.
And this guy's from South Africa.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to try to kick a field goal tonight. That's more Australian.
Yeah, it was more Australian.
Don't ask me to do voices.
Okay, I thought you could do the Boer accent.
How's that? It's diplomatic immunity.
That was better.
Yeah. Tired and cranky, and I hate the fact I'm going to be up till 3 in the morning tonight.
Dance, Jim, dance.
Yeah, I know. Brandon in Warwick, you're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hello.
Dance for the people.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, so no one's really talking about how it's going to be raining tonight. First off, shouldn't be a wild card, and now the wild card win is going to be raining, and that also on top of the kicking game. Is he going to let him kick in the rain? Are these guys going to – someone going to fumble, and that could be the game. The ball is going to be wet. The field is going to be wet. I think it's going to have a huge factor in this game. Thanks.
Thanks, Brandon. Yeah, how much do you look at weather as a factor tonight? And how did this all stupid weather change? And the middle of the week, it was like, oh, it's going to be actually unseasonably warm, like 50 degrees. It'll be fine. And all of a sudden, we're looking at rain, possible some snow, a little bit of snow tonight. But either way, do you think weather is really going to factor in tonight?
I mean, it could factor into ball handling, but I mean, you know, the Titans have dealt with weather this year. It's not like, I mean, the weather's not always perfect in Nashville. So I don't think that they're going to look at the weather and say, oh man, we can't win in this. And if anything, you know, the weather could be something that tips it more to which team has the better running game. And that's Tennessee with Derrick Henry, who led the NFL in rushing yards this year. So I don't look at that. If I'm the Patriots, I don't think you can just rely on the weather and say, like, you know, that's going to be this. The one thing I will say, though, where the weather could help them is Tennessee's speed with some of the skill guys like A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, maybe that makes it a little easier to cover those guys in the passing game. So that's where maybe it could play to their advantage somewhat, would be that it would take away some of the speed guys. Maybe the throws that we've seen, some of the throws we've seen the last couple of weeks that teams have been able to make against them, like the John Brown touchdown for the Bills, stuff like that where you're crisscrossing the field deep across the field, that might be a little more difficult to do if the field is slick. I would love to know. I mean, I haven't been down there yet, obviously. I haven't seen any live shots. Is the field covered? My guess would be it's not.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's
synthetic turf to begin with, but still, I would guess that the Patriots
are slick.
You know, keep it slick. Don't cover the field because they're faster than we are.
Well, and you mentioned the age of the defense, oldest in the league, and I think that's, to me, that's one of the things that's kind of caught up with them. Like, I think their secondary play has dipped, especially last week. And, you know, McCourty's been And Patrick Chung's been really beat up this year, too. So, you know, that's one of these things that might be able to benefit them in this game is the weather and the slick field.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, age is obviously a factor for the Patriots. But if you're talking about the secondary, I think it's more sort of injuries. I think there's a lot of guys who are less than 100% who are banged up. You know, Jonathan Jones, Jason McCourty, you mentioned Patrick Chung. I think there are guys that are dealing with stuff that maybe even they're not on the injury report. They're trying to game it and gut it out and all that. And I think that sort of affected them. And that's another thing here, because I think back with the Patriots, the playoff run, obviously losing to Philly and all that stuff. We all focus on Malcolm Butler, but it was huge that during that playoff run, Jonathan Jones got hurt.
Oh, yeah.
And he's playing, but he's not 100%.
All right. Well, I'll get your thoughts on where Tom Brady ranks of the 12 quarterbacks in the playoff field.
Number one.
This has been talked about a lot this week, especially on a national level. So we're going to get to that along with more of your phone calls and your thoughts on tonight's game. Wild card weekend. Ugh. Patriots hosting the Tennessee Titans tonight, 617-779-0985. More of your calls as well right after the Sports Hub headlines here with Tim McCone.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Look, man, I don't know why it's taking y'all so long to come around to the fact that it's over. It's over for the Patriots. It's over because their quarterback is the worst quarterback in the playoffs. Tom Brady.
I can't go with you on that one, Bucky.
He is the worst quarterback in the playoffs. Ooh. Let's count them off.
Yeah, who is it?
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Nah, I take Jimmy.
Drew Brees.
Come on.
Carson Wentz.
Keep talking.
Russell Wilson.
Whatever.
Aaron Rodgers.
Man.
Pat Mahomes.
Oh.
Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
Ryan Tannehill. The only guy where it's possibly questionable.
Let's go.
Kirk Cousins and Josh Allen. That's it.
Josh Allen.
That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about right now. So look, that boogeyman that's across the ring, he ain't it. He ain't the guy anymore.
All right. Something else that made Patriots fans real mad this week. Former NFL player and current analyst Bucky Brooks become the latest to say Brady done. Worst of the 12 quarterbacks in the playoff field this year. Ah, Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. But this was also something that came up behind the ESPN paywall. And their nerds, Aaron Schatz and the PFF set, the analytics crowd, also put together a piece rating the quarterbacks of the 12 in the NFL playoffs. And they had Brady ranked 10th. Ryan Tannehill, they had ranked 5th. Of course, it was going to be the opposing quarterback of the Tennessee Titans tonight. Where would you put him, Chris? Being objective, because I know he's number one in your heart. I get it.
Yes. Okay. I definitely would not put him last. I mean, let me phrase it this way. Regardless of the weapons that are around him and the injuries he's dealing with and the season that he's had, if you had one game and your life depended on it, would you rather have that quarterback, Tom Brady, Kirk Cousins, Ryan Tannehill, Josh Allen, or Deshaun Watson?
Oh, Brady. Yeah, because Watson still has it.
And I love Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I do too.
Brady. All day Brady.
Yeah.
So that's my
Those first three pieces of crap that you mentioned, like no shot.
And by the way, Aaron Rodgers has not had a great season.
Right.
And he's shown some signs of age. So, I know he's still more mobile than Brady, but it's funny that it's just because the team around him is performing, I think, better than people expected. And maybe the expectations were lower for the Packers coming off a non-playoff season, that it doesn't seem like people are ragging on Aaron Rodgers as much. So when you look at it, clearly there are guys who've had better seasons. If you're asking me who's the guy I would take, all the quarterbacks, if I had to rank them, I'd say Russell Wilson. Best combination of winner and stat producer right now in the playoffs. That's the guy I would take. But in terms of rating, Brady is last? No, he's definitely not last. There's a lot of guys that in a playoff scenario, I would take Brady over who are in these playoffs.
Yeah, and I get it. Like, there's recency bias and people are looking at the seasons that some of these quarterbacks have had, specifically Tannehill. I can understand if you look at his season why you would have him 5th.
Sure.
And even Kirk Cousins, who is a gutless bum at heart. I mean, go back a couple of weeks to that game that they played hosting the Green Bay Packers.
What's his Monday Night Football record? Is it 0-9?
0-9. Packers turned it over 3 times in Vikings territory, and I think they came away with 3 points. Like, he is a bum's bum. So to put Brady dead last and to have Josh Allen ahead of him, please. Allen stinks. Again, go back to that game a couple of weeks ago where he's missing the tight end in the first drive and the last drive. And
I would put Brady ahead of Carson Wentz. I saw the Patriots.
Yeah, I would too.
I mean, Wentz has played well, and considering what's happened there and the loss of Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson and Nelson Aguilar, but just I watched him play live. I mean, he's not bad.
He's all right.
But he's not great. And I think about some of the plays Brady has made at times this year. I want to say, was it the Cincinnati game? They're all running together. But the one where he's hung in the pocket, and then drilled one in the back of the end zone. Like, there's not a lot of quarterbacks in the league that can make that play. And
right.
I'll tell you right now, Carson Wentz is not one of those quarterbacks. So, I mean, I'd say he's probably about, midway through the group. If there's 12 right now, you're probably rating him, about 6.
Where do you have him, McCone?
I have him fourth. I love Brady. I have him fourth. It's behind Russell Wilson's number one for me, and then Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, and then I'll take Brady. Like you said, too.
What
like
about Lamar Jackson?
No, I'm so out. I understand he's going to be the MVP, and I wouldn't argue that, but I still don't trust him. I don't.
You're our Bill Polian.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, wow. I guess I'm Bill Polian. I just don't. I don't believe in him long term, so I don't believe him in a playoff game. Yeah.
Yeah, I just to have him dead last is foolish. It obviously hasn't been a good year for him. Sure. But please, Cousins and
Josh Allen
and Josh,
even
Allen.
Wentz. Like you Wentz. Know, I mean, again, I'm not trying on Wentz, but there's just a little. Wentz just has a little bit of loser in him.
Oh yeah, I agree. And even Watson, who again I like, I'm with you, Chris. But if you there's a great article by Bill Barnwell, which you know takes about an hour and a half to read, as any of his columns do. But he breaks down the weaknesses and strengths of each team in the wild card round. He was talking about and the part that was interesting to me about the Texans is that the number of fluctuation between when Will Fuller's on the field for the Texans offense and how these astronomical numbers that Deshaun Watson puts up to when Will Fuller isn't. And Will Fuller's not playing
He's
today.
He's not playing today.
So it's like, okay, I felt okay about Houston actually getting off the schneid and winning that game today. Now I'm like, ugh, I don't know. Because Watson in big moments, too, like, God,
in the NFL,
shaky.
I mean, it's early. I mean, I like Watson a lot. I think he can prove a lot today. If anything, he's sort of the opposite of Cousins, right? I feel like Cousins is a little milquetoast. In other words, he's a little like craven. Like he's not he'd rather like throw the check down and get the completion than, you know, risk something and make a play. I feel like Watson's the other way, where he always feels like he can make a play, and sometimes he'll make a play that hurts his team and helps the other team. I feel like those guys are kind of opposites. Like Watson is so confident and so just out there to win at all costs that sometimes he turns the ball over, whereas Cousins is like, I could maybe fit that in there, but oh, this check down looks open on 3rd and 18. I'll just throw that.
Jeff in Quincy.
Keep my 70% completion rate here.
Next here on Gasper Murray. Hello, Jeff.
Hi. How you doing? I'm sorry. I haven't called the radio since Eddie Adelman, and he hung up on me because I had a comment, bad, negative. Just wanted to comment on the fact that they didn't have the bye week. And, there were a number of times where they didn't benefit by having the bye week. It, you know, I don't know if it, you know, got them out of sync, got their concentration off, you know, even with the Super Bowl bye week. Again, you know, that's come back to haunt them. I have them blowing out the Titans tonight. I don't think rain and all that stuff has any implication on the game. Kraft built this stadium without his top for a reason. I don't know much time I have to talk.
Jeff, on that, I'm going to let you go because I do feel strongly about the Patriots winning tonight big, too. And the Titans have been the hottest team coming. They are the hottest team coming into the playoffs. Tannehill's been a great story this year. He's put up astronomical numbers, the best of his career. So I can understand why a lot of people think it's going to be a close game. I don't. Even though I've written this team off, and I don't think they're going to repeat as Super Bowl champions. I don't. I like them big tonight. This just feels like too big of a moment for Tannehill. And I know that Mike Vrabel has said all the right things and he'll have this team coached up and they're not going to be afraid. And I do believe that.
I think there's some merit to that.
But of the 53-man roster, the most important piece for them tonight, their quarterback, I don't know, given his history here, and then gets 5 touchdowns to like 11 picks. And I know he's beaten them down when he was
with
the Dolphins at Miami. But here...
He's 0-6 at Gillette.
Yeah, I don't trust him.
You know what's interesting, though? Like, you know, I think the game's going to be... I've been saying I think it will be like a 17-13, you know, like 20-17 type of game. I think it will be close, and I give that's the Vrabel factor for me. But it's interesting, as much as we talk about Tannehill, and I'm a complete non-believer in him, what if it's like 2009, where it's like Flacco only had to throw, what did he throw, 8 passes, 10 passes? What if Tannehill just has to hand off, and they just come in here and say, because the one thing with the Titans that concerns me, with the matchup with the Patriots, is that I think they're the more physical team. I think the Titans are the more physical. I think they're the tougher, more physical team than the Patriots.
Well, their offensive line certainly is. I mean, you see the push that they get. If you're just watching, if you're watching Red Zone and highlights, it feels like they get like a 2-3 yard push.
And Jack Conklin, their right tackle, who's on the injury report, he's going to play. They took him off. So, yeah, what if they just come in here and play bully ball like Baltimore did? I mean, obviously, this is a much better defense than the 09 defense that was a younger defense, but that would mitigate the concern around Tannehill if all he has to do is hand off, and let's say he only throws the ball 14 or 15 times a game.
All right, we'll run through all your calls, your thoughts on tonight's game, the Patriots hosting Wild Card Weekend. We're slumming it, everybody, as they host the Tennessee Titans tonight. Your call's coming up next here on a long commercial-free segment. Gasper Murray, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
Wilson. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's a big challenge. You know, they can do everything. They can run the ball. You know, they can throw it. So anytime you can do that and be balanced, you know, you're going to be a good offense. So it's going to take all 11 guys and trusting each other and playing for each other.
So a week after getting toasted by Devontae Parker, confident-sounding Stephon Gilmore heading into tonight's wildcard game. Patriots hosting the Tennessee Titans. Catch it here on 98.5. The Sports Hub pregame begins at 5 o'clock tonight, Casper?
5 o'clock, correct.
5 o'clock.
From Howl at the Moon.
Casper and Beadle down at Howl at the Moon. I'll be on the postgame with Beadle. And let us not forget, so for those of you maybe concerned about tonight's game, I get it. You know, when you have Gilmore coming off a bad game last week. Corey Davis last year in that beatdown, the 34-10 beatdown at the hands of the Tennessee Titans in Nashville, Davis toasted the Patriots secondary, 7 catches for a buck 25 and a touchdown, and 5 of those catches, including the touchdown and 90 of those yards, came against first-team All-Pro Stephon Gilmore. So, you know, I can understand why some people are a little bit more nervous about this game tonight than I am, because Gilmore not good last week, and Gilmore against Davis last year, not good. Not good.
Davis has been good against the Patriots in general, though. I mean, he's a guy that, obviously, A.J. Brown's the guy there. Now, when you look at what he's done as a rookie, it's interesting how a rookie receiver can contribute. Like,
yeah,
huh?
Another guy.
Especially one taking 19 picks after N'Keal Harry.
Yeah.
The guy only led all rookies in receiving yards. He only had 5 100-yard receiving games. Yeah. Second in the NFL overall in him, yards per catch at 20.2.
DK Metcalf, Slayton with the Giants.
Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Those guys. Even Hunter Renfro had a pretty good year out in Oakland.
Real good at drafting wide receivers here on this team, even if they take one in the first round.
Mm-hmm. Hey, here's another A.J. Brown stat for you. Just, you know, because I know people like N'Keal Harry run after catch, and he is good at that, you know. But A.J. Brown, NFL leading 9 plays from scrimmage this season that have gone at least 45 yards. So it's nice when Harry picks up 5-6 yards in run after catch. That's nice. This guy gets 45.
So, Ted and Waltham, you don't feel that great about the defense heading into tonight's game, huh?
No, I don't think so. Earlier in the program, you said that you still think that the best defense in the league.
I think they're the best defense in the league, yeah.
I mean, how can you think that when their schedule is as easy as it was? Not only did you get the garbage of the AFC East that you usually get, you also had the garbage of the NFC East. You had the Bengals. You had the Browns. I mean, yeah, you're putting up amazing numbers, but you're putting it up against trash. So
who's the better? Who's a better defense then? Because I've seen the 49ers get lit up by multiple teams.
Sure, but I do think the 49ers are better. I think the Bills are better. I mean, honestly,
The Bills are playing the same schedule as the Patriots, though.
The Bills passed the eye test a little better than the Patriots. Patriots have laid some eggs against, what was it, the Dolphins? And then I just wanted to make a quick point about the Titans. 2 weeks ago, you guys were talking about that team as though they were a scary team, that these best teams in the AFC might not make it out of the wild card round, and that you were looking at the Titans to take out some of your competition, and then all of a sudden you have to play them, and it's a sure thing, and I'm just kind of wondering what happened there.
Well, for me, Ted, what it was is I took a deeper look at to what happened with this team over the last 10 games. If you look at their – so last week's win for them to squeak into the playoffs against the Texans, it came against Houston's JV squad. So that's basically a fake win. It is. Like, they played against – Houston had nothing to play for. Their playoff seeding was set. So if you look at their remaining 6 wins, 5 came against teams with a losing record that also happened to rank 14th or worse in scoring defense.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, like, the Patriots have played trash, and so did the Tennessee Titans. And their 4 road games under Tannehill, one they lost at Carolina, one was that fake win that I mentioned against Houston in Week 17. The other 2 were wins against the mediocre Colts and Raiders. So they've also played crap.
Yeah, I think part of it's just the Patriots are not a team that's going to go out there and have self-inflicted wounds, usually. I think some of these other teams, like we've talked about, like if it were Kansas City, right? Kansas City has a penchant for that, or Houston has a penchant for that. So I think that's where it comes from. I still think the Titans are a tough opponent. And I'm saying I think the game will be close. But I just can't see Tannehill coming in here and winning. I just don't think the Titans will be the team that will win this game will be the team that makes the fewest mistakes. And I just can't see a Ryan Tannehill-led Titans team doing that at Gillette Stadium. I've said this for years about the Patriots. You know, they're like Iceman from Top Gun. You know, they wait until you get bored and then you do something stupid and they have you, right? And that's sort of what happens. A lot of games in the NFL aren't won. Bill says this. Games in the NFL aren't won. They're lost. And I just don't feel like the Patriots will lose this game. But I have to be honest. I appreciate the call. I appreciate the passion from Ted. But he lost a lot of credibility with me when he said, like,
the Bills
are the better defense, even though they played basically an identical schedule to the Patriots, and they just passed the eye test.
Yeah, and so okay. I did feel the eye test thing on the Bills heading into that game a few weeks back against the Patriots. And I thought that after that game, I was like, oh, they're a bit overrated. The Patriots defense is actually better than theirs. The Niners, though, the teams they got shredded by are really good teams.
That's like fair. That's fair.
The Saints, you know,
yeah,
they
sure,
play that
sure.
game that was like a ping pong game
yes.
about a month ago. But I do think up front, they're certainly better than the Patriots. You know, they're also a little bit old in the secondary.
Let's see. I mean, maybe if they get Quan Alexander back and there's, you know, talk about that, then maybe they have the edge over the Patriots. You know, but I don't think it's outlandish to say the Patriots have the best defense in the league. And if we're going to start talking about schedules, and then you mentioned the Buffalo Bills,
yeah.
who are playing, you know, not completely identical, but essentially the same schedule as the Patriots. It's like, what are we doing?
Yeah, so while we disagree and that, you know, we think it'll be close, I actually think they'll blow it out. I think we agree that Tannehill is the weak link. And the other thing is, I think that at this time of year, the playoff experience matters. And that Tennessee Titans roster has very little. Obviously, Logan Ryan has played yeah. in the playoffs, and same yep. with Deion Lewis, but yep. up and down that roster, they're certainly not as experienced as the Patriots are. Ryan in the car with a thought on Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I'm semi-confident tonight, but I'm worried about this guy. I mean, Vrabel might dumb it down. He might not put the ball in Tannehill's hands. He might dumb it down and feed this guy the rock, and this guy's going to eat people's lunch. He's a beast.
So what do you think about this, Chris? When this team, again, we both yeah. think that the defense has been, it's not all world. It's not one of the all-time great defenses. And one of the things that's been one of their weak links is getting the ball run down their throat, whether it was yeah. Frank Gore earlier yeah. in the season, mixing with the Bengals going back a few weeks. Like, they've had a problem with
Mark
these
Ingram.
Mark Ingram, these bigger running backs. Yeah. And Derrick Henry is a beast. So is that going to be the game plan tonight? If you can stop
yeah.
Henry, they're
going to
win.
I think that will be a big part of the game plan. You know, I think they'll come in, try and stop the run, and make Tannehill beat him. And if he does it, kudos to Tannehill. But I, you know, I think they're going to try, and there'll be two keys, I think, for the Patriots defensively. One, stop the run. Two, don't give up big plays. So force these sort of methodical marches. Try and make Tannehill convert a lot of, you know, third and six, third and seven, third and fives, and have to have sort of a methodical march to score instead of giving up. Bill's talked about all the big plays Tennessee generates, and you don't want to give those up, and you don't want to let Henry run the ball so it's like they're in third and two or third and one or third and three, because then it's advantage Tennessee. And also at that point, you know, the other thing is Tannehill's legs come into play. You know, he can still run with yeah. the football, and that's where I could see him making some plays in this game too, is making some plays with his legs, some sort of gutsy plays with his legs.
Obviously a lot of talk this week, even from those that are down at, you know, Gillette and talking to Tom Brady every single day when he does the press conferences, rather, that this could be Tom Brady's last home game, or maybe his last game in a Patriots uniform if they were to lose tonight to the Tennessee Titans. I really didn't want to spend all that much time on it because, well, we talked about it at length on Felger and Maz the last couple of days, and everyone else has talked about it until there was blue in the face. Let's just, for me at this point, like, let's just wait and see what happens. I actually don't think he's retiring. I don't think he's going to be back here next year. I feel like there's going to be a team that's going to be waiting in the weeds to give him a big two-year deal. Oh, and the caller just dropped. You wanted to talk about this potentially being Brady's last game tonight. But just quickly, do you think that that's on the table, that this could be it, or at the very least, we're going to get some kind of send-off, because unless something freaky happens, they're not going to end up hosting the AFC Championship game, that we're going to get some kind of, like, big to-do for Brady tonight?
Oh, like from the team? Like, yeah. Like some video tribute?
Or what? Like a walk-off, like a stand, you know, the Brady chants and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, I think you'll get the Brady chants, but I don't know. I don't think that you'll get that would be interesting. I hadn't even thought about that, Jim, the idea that there would be some sort of display there at the end, whether from him or the fans or whatever, some sort of acknowledgement that this could be the end. It hadn't even occurred to me that there would be something like that.
Well, you found something interesting, though, about Tom Brady,
yes,
along with Julian Edelman, have put up hype videos this morning.
You
on
love
social
the hype
media.
Video.
Oh, it's just like so over.
You got your boogeyman hoodie on, and you're watching the hype videos. Yeah. That's how you get ready for the game.
It's just low-hanging fruit is all it is. But either way, Brady put up a video that says it's too late to be scared. It's about a minute long, and everyone's all retweeting it and liking yeah. it, and I get it. And it's like, you know, a lion chasing the herd above yeah. Wildebeest or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But you read into this with the lion. Why?
Well, I just see the phrase, like, lion in winter. We're in winter. You know, lion in winter, that's normally somebody that's sort of towards the end of their time, their rule, sort of. And I'm wondering if there's some symbolism there. Here's the phrase, lion in winter. This is how the idiom is defined. A proud, prominent, strong man whose great strength and dignity have been eroded by age, adversity, or a poor wide receiver core.
Very good. And so, yeah, the last clip that you see is a lion staring right into the camera, which is supposed to be, you know, like Animal Brady. And then it cuts to NFL playoffs, yeah. Patriots logo, Titans logo.
So maybe it's the whole, you know, lion in winter thing. That's you're towards the end, but you got one last hunt, didn't you?
Very good. All right, we have to pause the Patriots conversation. In fact, that's going to be it for us until Chris is on the pregame. Then I'm on the postgame. As every Saturday at noon, it is the Celtics Sports Hub show, and there's a lot to talk about with that team. And that's right, yeah. Even though the Patriots in the playoffs, we're contractually obligated to talk Celtics here for the next half hour leading into the Bruins pregame. No matter what, Sports Hub Celtics show always happens at noon. We are talking Celtics. So even if World War III breaks out, Iran launches the nukes, tough. We don't talk about it. We talk Celtics on a Saturday from noon to 1. So we'll get to that after the Sports Hub headlines here with McComb.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.